Spring was late, a northeast wind swept in and stayed for whining weeks, while all across the woolpit fields they sowed and prayed for summer's grain. Soaked by sleet or rain and hail, Sir Richard's men in muck and mire, when light would fade, came gladly in to huddle by the great hall's fire, curse their colds and drink their ale, and hope that summer soon set sail. Now Alice, who would tend the fire, while husband John worked with the men, taught Agnes how to keep a kitchen, and to speak our mother tongue. The girl, she saw, was changing fast and seemed mature for one so young. She blossomed with each week that passed. Her skin, still green, though not so green as earlier it once had been, retained a supernatural sheen. Yet Agnes, appetite improved, now tried a wider choice of food. Stole morsels from the kitchen pot, yet did so in a charming way, and grew more bold with every day. She cried still in the night, they said, and missed her brother, weeks long dead. One day, without being asked as such, when sat with Alice after work, before the men came in to eat, the maiden spoke. She said this much. Our home was once St. Martin's land, an underworld long ways from here, where night is never dark as yours, yet day is never bright as yours, the light being somewhere in between. Our people's skin, like ours, is green. That day we came here, he and I, our father's cattle went astray. We both were lost, far worse, in fear, and followed them into a cave, that cave which led in time to here. And when we both emerged in day, that blinding ball you call the sun was seated high across the sky. And then we could not see, while all we heard, brother and I, were Edmund's bells across the lea, a new, though now familiar sound, and thus it was when we were found.